Revelation chapter 12. And let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Heavenly Father, help us now and illuminate thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now quickly, real quick review, chapter 11, we just finished it last Sunday, and I told you, and we had read that last seventh trumpet, the third woe, all right? But I told you on Sunday night that you're not going to start seeing those judgments or that seventh trumpet, that third woe, until chapter 15, all right? So understand, the book of Revelation is not necessarily written in chronological order. I want to explain it this way. I believe chapters 4 through 11 is like an overview. It's kind of like a telescopic view, and it's dealing with the timing of the tribulation period. All right? We see that in chapter 4 through 11. But then we see in chapter 12 through 19, which we're entering tonight, chapter 12 through chapter 19 is going to deal more with the characters involved during the tribulation. So now we're kind of going back, we're looking, we're filling in some details during the tribulation period. So these chapters are more dealing with more of a microscopic look, a little bit more detailed look of what's going on during the tribulation period. Now, this is an interesting passage because the ages of time in these first 6 verses is woven together in this tribulation passage. This is going to deal with a large span of time. And so we'll see that here in just a minute. Now, the importance about identifying the characters properly is very important in the book of Revelation in certain instances, because obviously there's been a lot of debate about who the woman is, and we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you my thought on it tonight. And I do believe by just basic study and letting the Word of God speak for itself, I believe you'll find that we're going to find out that the woman to describe tonight, we're going to let the Bible speak for itself. But we understand that it's dealing with, in this passage, a woman, a dragon, and a child. That's the message tonight. The woman, the dragon, and the child. So let's allow the Bible to unravel this mystery as we look at it. Look at the appearance of this woman. Verses 1 and 2. The identity of this woman has been the subject, as I said a moment ago, of debate. And by the way, it's also been an origin of false doctrine for years as well, when it comes to prophecy and end days. So we understand that clearly John is using symbolic language here. He's using symbolic language. So you cannot take this literally. We understand that he's using symbolic language. Now, when we talk about this woman, I'll give you a few thoughts. The Roman Catholics has always believed that this to be the Virgin Mary. The problem that I have with that is that Mary's life does not fit this scripture. We see that the Bible says that this woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So we know, as I start to read that, if I do the math, I know that's 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And that's dealing with the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So it doesn't fit Mary being this woman. Then we see others believe that the woman to be the church. And I disagree with this thought as well, and the reason being is the church did not give birth to Christ. Christ birthed the church. Somebody say amen. And the Bible here says that this woman birthed this child. So we understand that, so let's allow the Bible. Look at verse 1. What is her clothing? And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now keep in mind, John's using symbolic language here. So we see that she's clothed with the sun. I believe that speaks of her glory. He speaks of the moon under her feet, speaks of her power and dominion. The crown of 12 stars, I believe, speaks of her royalty. And it could very well mean the 12 tribes of Israel. And so what do I believe that this woman is in this text? And if we just continue to look, I believe it's the nation of Israel. I believe it's Jewish people. I believe it is the nation of Israel. It fits everything in this passage of Scripture. So as we look at this woman, we're looking at her as he's speaking of prophetic times, but he also goes back and talks about past times, and we'll look at all of it. That's why this is such an interesting passage. And then the very last verses explains what their position will be during the tribulation period. So we see her condition. The Bible says that she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth. That's verse 2. The Bible says she was pained to deliver the child. The child can be none other than the Lord Jesus. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So I realize that Mary was the mother of Jesus Christ, but this passage is dealing with Israel. Why? Jesus was called the son of David and the son of Abraham. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He was born of the lineage of David. Christ came through the womb of Israel. So we see that God's chosen people. So we see that the woman is Israel, I believe, and the seed is speaking, or the child is speaking of Christ. So we understand her condition. So I want you to notice not only we see the appearance of this woman, I want you to look quickly tonight with me at the adversary of this woman. This woman's always had an adversary. The child has always had an adversary. And if you go back through with me through Bible history, you'll see from the beginning of time this dragon, which we know to be the devil, symbolic language for the dragon. We've seen that before where in the book of Revelation, God has referred to Satan as a dragon. So we know that this is speaking of Satan. Satan himself, in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And by the way, he is described as a dragon. What is that? A winged serpent. The objects of many myths and fables are usually associated today, even in this day, with evil. The Bible says that this dragon has 7 heads, which truly believes, I believe, that it's speaking of his intelligence and his wisdom. By the way, we know that he is an intelligent being. We understand that he was a wise being, but his pride lifted him up, made him a fool. But we understand the Bible says here that he has 10 horns. And when you think about a horn, especially in Bible days, that would be referring to this dragon's power. Now keep in mind, Satan has great power. There's no doubt about it. But let me just say this, and everybody say amen, but he doesn't have all power. But we understand that he does have power. Some believe the 10 horns may even refer to the specific nations that will be used by Satan in the tribulation period. So we see he also wears 7 crowns. It's a symbol of his authority. By the way, you say, does he have authority? Yes, Satan, the Bible says that he is the god of this world. So we understand that this Satan, this devil, was symbolic in the word dragon. Let's look at the defilement of the dragon. Look at verse 4. And we're just looking at each scripture. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, there are 2 possible applications for this. I have read both. I personally believe it will be the latter one that I give you. That's my position. I ain't going to argue with anybody because, again, we'll know one of these days here after a while, but it could literally mean that there was an actual meteor shower that the dragon caused. But I personally believe when we read of the account in Isaiah chapter 14 of the fall of Satan when he was cast down from heaven, we understand that he has demons that work with him. And so I truly believe that Satan drew one third of heaven's angels with him when he fell, when he cast down, when he rebelled against God. So ever since then, Satan and his demons have worked to hinder the kingdom. So he's describing the defilement of this dragon, I believe. And then we see, and this is so clear to me, as we look here in this passage and let the Bible speak for itself. But then if you go back to the history of Christ and even all the way back to the book of Genesis, you're going to find one thing that is true. The desire of the dragon. What has it always been? What is the desire? What's always been his objective? And by the way, he went all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we'll look at it in a minute. But what has been his desire? Well, look what the Bible says here in this verse. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Notice this. For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. Here we see a picture of Satan standing before Israel, waiting for the birth of Messiah, and his desire was to destroy the Lord at his birth. In fact, the first of God's creation, he moved Cain to kill Abel. And if you'll remember, the Bible says, and God raised up another seed. So we understand that was an attempt. We also understand that right when Christ was born as a man child, and I think we could go back through many, many more, but when we know that Herod had what? The children, the boy, the men children of 2 years and younger to be killed. Why? Because he wanted the child, the Christ child, to be destroyed. That's always been Satan's goal, his ambition, his object is to stop the work of salvation. So we see that it's very clearly laid out in Revelation chapter number 12 verse 4 that this dragon's object goal was to destroy the child. So we see moved Herod to destroy the babies in Bethlehem under the age of 2 in effort to kill the Christ. Satan has always had one objective, to disrupt the plan of God for salvation. So we see the appearance of the woman, we see the adversary of this woman, but I want you to notice the achievement of the woman. Look at verse 5. The Bible says this, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Does that sound familiar? Listen to me tonight. Satan tried in every way to destroy the seed of Israel, but he failed. Hey, Jesus was born of a virgin. Holy God and holy man. Look at his authority in verse 5. The Bible says that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now keep in mind, the Jews rejected him when he came. They rejected him. Why? Because they wanted him to come and rule and reign and overthrow the empire that was ruling them. But that's not why Christ came. But praise God, the next time he comes, he'll be ruling with iron. Amen. But we see that they sought one who would restore Israel. Jesus didn't do that when he first came. But one day he will. He will set up his kingdom here on earth and will rule with a rod of iron in complete righteousness. By the way, he is the creator. He is the redeemer. He is the sovereign Lord. The world was created by him and belongs to him. He purchased us with his blood. He alone is worthy to rule the earth. And one day every knee shall bow to this king. And all God's people said, y'all asleep tonight. I guess y'all are just so enamored you're just speechless. Amen. The word of God is enamoring, isn't it? praise the Lord, I'm thankful of the woman. I'm thankful that she achieved what she needed to achieve. And praise God, I'm glad that she did have this child. We know that this child is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God he ascended into heaven. He's in heaven right now on the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for me. And I'm thankful I'm on the winning side. We see his ascension. His chapter 12, verse 5, notice this. The Bible says he was caught up into God and to his throne. Jesus is being pictured here, caught up into God, to his throne. Here we are reminded of the greatest victory of all time, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ascended. By the way, if he didn't raise from the dead, we're of all men most miserable. We have no hope, we have no joy, we have no peace, and we might as well just go ahead and make the best we can do down here because it's the best we're going to have. But praise God, because he did raise from the dead and he has ascended up into heaven. I'm thankful that he ascended back to his throne in glory and he is seated right now at the Father's right hand. He's now making preparations for the redeemed. That means you and me. Are you redeemed tonight? That means he's preparing a place for us. I'm thankful that this child that's being symbolically mentioned here in this passage is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also, as I read this passage of Scripture, and I know this without reading this, but praise God, I'm thankful it just confirms it. The devil did not win because the Lord Jesus Christ did not fail. Satan did all he could to destroy the Lamb, but praise God, he lives today. And guess what? He's coming again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I'm going to close with two things, and I know tonight you're saying, man, Pastor, we're going to get out here early tonight. Well, we're going to go over and move some chairs and tables. But before y'all get all happy, and yes, it is a little warm in here, I want you to notice something. Now, here's where we've spanned a lot of history here in this passage. Six verses, we've spanned a lot of history. We went back, we've talked about the woman, we've talked about Satan, we've talked about the child. But we're dealing in the book of Revelation. So why is this passage so important in the book of Revelation? Because he's going to explain what is the Jewish people going to deal with during the tribulation. You're going to find that in the very last verse of this little passage that we read. Look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I want you to notice this. As Satan and the Antichrist, and by the way, here in just a couple chapters, I've already brought out the Antichrist on an early message when I wasn't planning on going through the whole book, but we're going to be introduced to him again in just a bit in a more of a detailed way, coming up in another couple chapters. But we understand during the tribulation period, Satan and the Antichrist is going to seek to utterly destroy Israel. They're going to utterly, I mean, they're going to seek, by the way, they've always been sought to be destroyed. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, what was the big deal about getting that, always being friends of Israel? Because I'm telling you right now, wicked people have always been against Israel. God's chosen people. And I want you to notice something. The Bible says that God himself will prepare a safe place for his people, the Jewish people, during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. I want you to notice what it says. The Bible says that he has the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. Now, I want you to notice this preparation. Why is it being prepared? Because we know now that they're fleeing. You don't flee to the wilderness unless somebody's making you flee. Now, we know even in history, Satan has always used a group of people to persecute and to be violent towards God's people. I mean, you could go all the way back to Pharaoh. You could go back to the Egyptians. You could go back to the Philistines. You could go back to the Babylonians. The Romans persecuted the Jewish people. Listen, even in our era, Hitler, 6 million Jewish people killed and slaughtered. Listen to me. We understand even now. Do you understand if you know world geography that little old Israel is surrounded by people that hate them? They hate them. Hate them. Why? They're constantly being persecuted. They're constantly being in the midst of turmoil. But listen, God is not through with his covenant people. And there are those that I just mentioned that want them to be removed from the face of the earth. But the Bible says during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, he is going to hide them in the shadow of the Almighty. Now you say, Pastor, what's that going to look like? I don't know in entirety, but the Bible does say it's a wilderness. But here's what I really want to pay attention to there is, it's a place prepared of God. So I would say, obviously it's going to be a place here on this earth, but I thank God it's going to be a place prepared by God, and it's going to be protected by the shadow of the Almighty God. And God will preserve his people. We see in the preservation of God, look at this in verse 6, the last part. The Bible says 1,260 days. Now that's interesting, because you do the math. That's 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, I believe God will provide their needs. He's capable of doing it. We have his word that he's going to do it. Remember the man in the wilderness that he provided for his people? Remember how he said, speak to the rock, hit the rock? He always provided a way for his people. Was it not back in Isaiah, the Bible says, where there didn't seem any way, God always made a way. God will preserve a remnant through the tribulation who will embrace the Lord as Messiah and believe on him. Now, let me close in sharing just a little quick, short story. A man walked by a little league baseball game and noticed the score. It was 21-0. And the man walked up to the little old boy that was sitting there at the losing bleacher on the dugout side. And he went over and he says, man, he said, I just walked over and I seen the score. He said, it's not looking too good. And that little boy said, yes, sir, I know. But he said, we ain't even got to bat yet. Now, let me just let everybody get encouraged here. It may appear that Satan has got the upper hand. It may appear that the Lord hasn't stepped up to the plate yet, but look at me. He's going to. He's going to come to bat. And when he comes to bat, I promise you 21-0 will not be a problem. Somebody say amen. And here's the problem, but I believe we are in the bottom of the ninth. I really do. I think we're in the bottom of the ninth, and I hope we are in the bottom of the ninth. Can I get a witness? Boy, I tell y'all what, y'all a somber group tonight. How many of y'all would like to be in? Y'all looking for Jesus to come, or y'all want to hang around this place a little bit longer? Well, y'all tell me, y'all want him to come, or y'all okay down here? How many of y'all just soon him come right now tonight? Would you raise your hand? Yes. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking for, isn't it? So I'm going to try that one more time because I think I put you to sleep. Or again, I just think you're so enamored by the Word of God, you didn't catch that. I believe everybody here, if he was to happen, I believe and I'm glad, I hope it is the bottom of the ninth. Because the bottom of the ninth means we get to go home. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more sad phone calls. No more sickness, no more coronavirus. Somebody say amen. No more outbreaks, no more hospitals, no more cancer. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but there's plenty enough to go up there for than to want to stay down here. But I want you to know something. We might look very well be in the bottom of the ninth, but here's the thing. I'm a winner with Jesus. Are you a winner? Make sure you're on the winning team. And I would think that everybody that's in this building tonight, y'all would be considered the core of our church. I would hope everybody here knows Jesus as your Savior. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're glad you know him, would you stand to your feet tonight? Isn't he wonderful? And aren't you thankful that you're not going to be down here with any of that tribulation stuff? Be in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to be caught up. And we thank God. And I'm thankful that God has a plan for his people, his chosen people, the Jewish people. So praise the Lord. We'll continue to look in the book of Revelation. Ask God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. I pray now that you'll help us. And Lord, I will praise you and thank you for what you do in our midst. Lord, help us, stir us to be excited about the future. And Lord, especially our being able to go home. Lord, we ought to be looking towards that eastern sky, because we know here at any moment you could step out on that cloud and we'd be raptured up. And Lord, that'd be perfectly fine with me. I pray you'll help us to occupy till you come. Help us to be ever at your business, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.